Welcome to today's reading of Sports Today, a one-hour reading of sports news from 7 to 8 p.m. every Tuesday and Thursday. My name is Bill, volunteer reader here at Some Sounds of Arizona. Let's begin with a reading from USA Today Sports Weekly that reads, NFL legend Eric Dickerson roots against the record chase. And this feature written by Jarrett Bell, columnist for USA Today. Not every record is meant to be broken. Just ask Eric Dickerson, who has flashed back to 1984 in tapping competitive juices as Saquon Barkley closes in on his NFL single-season rushing mark of 2,105 yards. The phenomenal Philadelphia Eagles running back rushed a season-high 31 times for 167 yards on Sunday to crack the 2,000-yard barrier. With 2,005 yards now on 345 carries this season, that leaves Barkley 101 yards from topping the Hall of Famer's record that has stood for 40 years. These people who say records are meant to be broken, you ain't got no record, Dickerson told USA Today Sports on Sunday after Barkley ripped off his 11th 100-yard game of the season at the expense of the Dallas Cowboys. Quote, you don't have one. When you get those records, you want to hang on to them. No matter if it was bowling or if you had 30 strikes in a row, you don't want nobody to break that. The fastest mile ever, you don't want nobody to break that. Those are the true accomplishments. You can always look back and that record's been held for 40 years now, unquote. Don't blame Eric Dickerson, now age 64, for wanting to keep such a significant piece of his NFL legacy intact. He's only human, and he paid the price for his football career to the point that it is difficult for him to get a good night's sleep due to chronic pain that lingers from old injuries. So if the man is, well, a bit possessive, he has earned the right. But facts are the facts, and certain storylines are too good to be true. Barkley can break the record in the regular season finale next weekend against the New York Giants of all teams. Barkley played the first six seasons of his NFL career with the Giants, who were content to see him walk away last offseason as a free agent, a scenario that began to take form in the year 2023 when the team, led by general manager Joe Schoene and coach Brian Daboll, opted to sign since-released quarterback Daniel Jones to a four-year, $160 million contract rather than keep the star runner locked up with a long-term deal. With Philadelphia clinching the number two seed in the NFC playoffs with their 41-7 blowout win on Sunday, it is unclear whether or how much Barkley will play in a Week 18 game with no bearing on the playoff standing. Regardless, Dickerson is hardly the only one who grasps the irony of Barkley potentially breaking the record against the Giants. When he came to the Giants, I said he would never reach his potential playing for them, Dickerson said, mindful that New York drafted Barkley second overall from Penn State in 2018. I saw that. I said, they're terrible. I felt bad for him. That they were stupid enough to let him go to a team in their division, that's on them. They ought to put the jackass suit on for that. Whoever made that call should be fired. That was just dumb, unquote. Although Dickerson would love to see the 1984 record survive, he is hardly hating on Barkley. He also takes solace in the fact that he achieved his mark during a 16-game season, breaking the then record of 2,003 yards that O.J. Simpson set during a 14-game season in 1973. Dickerson, who starred for the Los Angeles Rams, broke Simpson's record in the 15th game when they played without a bye week. Now Barkley could possibly seize the mark in 17 games. As Dickerson sees it, there's no need for an asterisk. After all, Barkley is the ninth player to crack 2,000 rushing yards in a season. "Hey, that's football," Dickerson said. "I still don't think it takes anything away from him. Getting 2,000 yards is tough. It's hard to do. I thought I could do it more than once. I got close a couple times, but was never able to do it again. Everything has to go perfect. You have to have the right team. You have to have the right quarterback. Luckily, he's got a guy like Jalen Hurts. I didn't have a Jalen Hurts. I had a great offensive line," unquote. It's worth getting Dickerson to recall the day that he broke O.J. Simpson's mark. The Rams, en route to a wild card berth, hosted the 3-win, 11-loss Houston Oilers at Anaheim Stadium. He needed 214 yards to break the record and wound up with a season-high 215 yards. "I thought I'd make 140, 150 yards against Houston, and then I'd probably make it the next week against the San Francisco 49ers," Dickerson reflected. That game got heated. "Me and Keith Bostic, we got into a fight. I was like, 'Hey, you mother, I'm going to break this record on y'all today.' I didn't talk much as a player, but I got to talking to the offensive line. I was PO'd, and we started running the ball," unquote. Dickerson remembers that with the record secured, Rams coach John Robinson took him out of the game with about 5 minutes on the clock. Interestingly, with nothing to play for in Week 16 because the home wildcard game was set, Dickerson played against the 49ers and finished for 98 yards. Now, all these years later, Barkley is on the brink, much to Dickerson's chagrin. With Barkley so close, any chance that he has softened his position on wanting to keep ownership of the record? "Absolutely not," Dickerson said. "That doesn't even make sense. Like I told the guy earlier, I don't want nobody to break my record. He even said if he breaks it, he doesn't want anybody to break his. I get it," unquote. Well, there is one person Dickerson would relish breaking his record. It is his 12-year-old son, Dallas. Dallas doesn't play tackle football yet, but he is a running back on his flag football team. Last year, he asked his mom, "What's that record that my dad had?" 2,105. "I want to break that record someday," unquote. "I don't know if he'll play pro football, but if he does, I'd love to see him break it," Dickerson said. Then there's the other record that Dickerson insists will be much tougher to break. In 1983, the Southern Methodist University product set the NFL's rookie rushing record with 1,808 yards. "That's going to be almost impossible to break," he predicted. "I didn't plan on them building the offense around me as a rookie. That just doesn't happen for a rookie these days. And they don't run the ball like that with rookies anyway," unquote. maybe that's the one not meant to be broken. And again, that feature entitled NFL Legend Eric Dickerson Roots Against the Record Chase, written by Jarrett Bell, columnist for USA Today. And in another feature from Sports Weekly, the headline reads, Predicting 2025 in Sports, Bold Ideas for a New Year. And this feature written by Gabe Lackus of USA Today. Travis Kelce will catch the rock, but will he present one to his lover? The hoodie is back, but how long will Bill Belichick be for Chapel Hill? Paige Buchers will call her shots, but will she be getting them up in Dallas? A first glance at 2025 reveals a year that may zag just after it zigs, that's about as hard to pin down as a former Green Bay Packer quarterback's career plans. Stick with it, though, and you will be surprised, pleasantly or otherwise. And with that, USA Today sports reporters and editors offer up their bold predictions for the coming year, beginning with LeBron James. LeBron James will retire. After turning 40 and finally achieving his dream of sharing an NBA court with his son Bronny, the future Hall of Famer will decide to walk away at the end of the season. Another sports prediction, moving from LeBron James, we go to Arch Manning. Arch Manning will win the Heisman Trophy, and in the process, become the first Manning to do so. Archie, Peyton, and Eli were all finalists at some point in their college careers, but never won it. Another prediction, Paige Buchers does not end up with the Dallas Wings. Just as Caitlin Clark was the foregone conclusion to be the number one pick in this year's draft, Buchers is the gimme for number one in 2025. But Dallas is not exactly a prime WNBA destination, and Buchers is one of the few players with the leverage to say that she doesn't want to go there. Whether that means that she stays at UConn for a sixth year, she has another year of eligibility because of COVID and injuries, or will she force a trade? Another sports prediction, the Mets. The Mets will miss the playoffs after committing $765 million to Juan Soto. Soto will enjoy a fine debut season in Queens, but the Mets cannot recapture 2024's magic and finish third in the National League East with a shaky pitching staff in the first of the Sluggers' 15 years under contract. Another sports prediction for 2025, the Detroit Lions will finally make it to the Super Bowl, but then lose to Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, who will become the first team in the Super Bowl era to three-peat. Next in sports predictions, Bill Belichick will go back to the NFL. A moderately successful debut season at North Carolina will put Belichick back on the radar of NFL teams, and he will decide that the necessary politicking of college football is just not for him. And in another prediction for 2025 in sports, Aaron Rodgers retires and then comes back to play. He couldn't be more like Brett Favre if he tried. After his time with the Jets didn't pan out, Rodgers calls it quits on his career until some other team comes calling and he misses being in the spotlight. Another prediction, Michael Vick and Norfolk State beat Rutgers. In his first year as head coach, Vic and the FCS Spartans pick up a shocking road win over a Big Ten opponent. The former number one overall pick's name begins getting floated for every major job opening. Another sports prediction for 2025, LeBron James retires after being traded back to the Cavaliers, who he helps win their second NBA championship. Another sports prediction, Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce announce engagement. This sets off hysteria among the Dads, Brads, and Chads, and Tony Dungy, who are incensed that they will continue having to see the pop superstar for 20 seconds during a 3.5-hour game. Another sports prediction, Michaela Schifrin gets her 100th World Cup victory, an unfathomable mark that is unlikely to ever be equaled. And in yet another prediction involving Bill Belichick, Bill Belichick's North Carolina Tar Heels will play a bowl game in a baseball stadium. That would be the Pinstripe Bowl at Yankee Stadium or the Fenway Bowl in Boston, not unlike the conclusion of almost every University of North Carolina football season, on to 161st Street. Next prediction, the LA Dodgers win 117 games. One more than the record-setting 2001 Seattle Mariners season, and 17 as in, you know, the jersey number of that guy who will be returning to the mound in 2025. Next prediction, nobody cares about the Club World Cup. Set in the United States a year before the 2026 World Cup, FIFA made sure to reverse engineer its newest tournament to include the nearly 38-year-old Lionel Messi and features an eye-popping $100 million prize for the winning team. But the 32-club showcase goes on in front of largely disinterested American stadiums with top players complaining about more cash-grab games added to a calendar lacking an off-season. And in yet more 2025 predictions for sports, Coach Prime gets quarterback controversy. Deion Sanders signs a long-term contract at Colorado, but a quarterback controversy erupts during his first season without his quarterback son, Shador, who goes number one in the NFL draft. Blue-chip quarterback recruit Julian Lewis came to Boulder to play right away. So did Liberty transfer Kadone Salter, who has 1 year of eligibility left. What does Coach Prime do about it? He plays both of them, and the Buffaloes get a playoff berth. Another prediction for 2025, no MLS Cup for Lionel Messi. Messi has won 46 trophies for club and country, but one major honor has eluded him after two seasons in the U.S., the MLS Cup. And in 2025, Messi and Inter Miami will come up short again of attaining Major League Soccer's biggest prize. Another prediction, the Chiefs do not win their third straight Super Bowl. Not since Lombardi's Packers has a team won three consecutive NFL titles, but one of those championships came before the advent of the Super Bowl. Far better teams than this year's Chiefs, the 1994 Dallas Cowboys, 1990 San Francisco 49ers, the 1976 Pittsburgh Steelers, the 1974 Miami Dolphins come to mind. Couldn't do it. Kansas City will be the latest to fall short of Super Bowl three-peat glory. Another prediction for this year, South Carolina women win another basketball title. South Carolina goes back-to-back, the program's third championship in 4 years. Another prediction, Phil Jackson to the rescue. Phil Jackson comes out of retirement to solve the Lakers' problems. LeBron James announces the triangle is his least favorite shape. They opt for a hexagon-inspired offense, and madness ensues. Another 2025 prediction, Woj does not bomb. The St. Bonaventure men's basketball team reaches the Final Four for the first time since 1970 for a very obvious reason. Adrian Wojnarowski makes all the right moves in his first year as the team's general manager. And finally, among the 2025 sports predictions, after sitting out 2024 WNBA seasons, two-time MVP Elena Delladun returns in a big way. Delladun teams up with Caitlin Clark and Eliah Boston in Indiana after the Fever pull off a massive sign-and-trade with the Washington Mystics. And in a few extra predictions for 2025, Kirk Herbstreit perfects the CFP format. Tired of the criticism about which team should be in the college football playoff, the selection committee decides to let ESPN analyst Kirk Herbstreit pick the teams instead. He scraps the selection rules and fills the bracket with Ohio State, Colorado, and 10 teams from the Southeastern Conference based on the strength of their schedules. All first-round games then go to overtime. But criticism about the selection process fails to die down, prompting Herbstreit to blame fringe fans and social media for ruining college football. Then there's Tyler Riddick taking the Daytona 500. In the midst of their antitrust lawsuit against NASCAR, 23 XI Racing co-owners Michael Jordan and Denny Hamlin dunk on the auto racing series again when their driver, Tyler Riddick, kicks off the 2025 season by winning NASCAR's most iconic race, the Daytona 500. And finally, among 2025 predictions, Ethan Holliday joins his brother as the number one overall pick in 2025. The sons of All-Star Matt Holliday join the Mannings as the only brothers to be taken first overall. And again, that's a list of predictions for 2025 in the sports world. And moving on to some baseball news, the headline reads, Boston Red Sox top prospect, the top minor leaguer. Written by Jesse Omtov of USA Today. Referred to by teammates as Barry Bonds, Boston Red Sox prospect Christian Campbell put on a hitting clinic across three levels to earn the 2024 USA Today Sports Minor League Player of the Year. Campbell, age 22, batted 330 for Greenville in Class A, Portland in Class AA, and Worcester in Class AAA in his first full season as a pro after he was selected by the Red Sox in the fourth round of the 2023 Major League Baseball Draft. I'm just like a fan watching him play, Red Sox shortstop prospect Marcelo Myers said about his teammate. Quote, he's just such a unique player, and he's so athletic, and he's able to do everything at such a high level that it's just like it's super impressive to watch, unquote. Campbell split his time pretty evenly between shortstop, second base, and center field in 2024, offering him more than one pathway to the big leagues. It's rare that you get a guy like that who can play so many different premium positions and play it at the level that he plays it at while putting up the numbers that he's putting up, Red Sox outfield prospect Roman Anthony said of Campbell. Campbell had a 997 OPS in 430 at-bats with 20 home runs, 77 RBIs, 24 steals, and 32 doubles. We call him Barry Bonds just because of how good of a hitter he is, said Anthony. He's a great player. He's a freak athlete. He plays the game the right way, and he's a great person on and off the field, unquote. Expected to begin the season together with AAA Worcester, Boston's top three prospects should be knocking on the door by the summer, with the Red Sox perhaps in need of upgrades at second base, shortstop, and center. But there's no reason for Boston to rush Campbell, who enters the 2025 season with only 19 games under his belt in the minors' highest level. Quote, it was a collaboration between our amateur department and our player development department in terms of the mechanical changes that he needed to impact the ball, Red Sox farm director Brian Abraham told Major League Baseball. We thought that there was some low-hanging fruit that could help him. Christian really embraces change and the challenge of improvement. To see it happen so immediately and dramatically was exciting, unquote. As James Ramsey, one of Campbell's coaches at Georgia Tech, told Boston.com, quote, in some ways, I think he was born to play baseball, unquote. USA Today has been handing out the Minor League Player of the Year award annually since the year 1988, honoring the top minor league player as voted on by the staff's Major League Baseball writers and editors. Of 15 winners since the year 2008, 13 have become All-Stars, and that group has combined for 3 MVP awards, 3 Cy Young awards, and 5 Rookie of the Year awards. And again, that short feature entitled Red Sox Top Prospect, the Top Minor Leaguer. And in other baseball news, this headline reads, 2021 Cy Young winner Burns will sign a $210 million D-backs deal, written by Steve Gardner and Bob Nightingale of USA Today. 2021 National League Cy Young winner Corbin Burns has reached an agreement with the Arizona Diamondbacks on a 6-year, $210 million free agent contract, according to multiple people with knowledge of the deal. Burns's deal, the richest in Diamondbacks history, includes an opt-out after 2 years. After 6 years in Milwaukee, Burns pitched last season for the Baltimore Orioles, winning a career-high 15 games and posting an ERA of 2.92. In an age of diminished starting pitching, Burns, a 4-time All-Star, is an outlier, making at least 32 starts and tossing at least 190 innings each of the past 3 seasons. His durability is a major selling point for the Diamondbacks, and the 30-year-old right-hander gives them a high-quality starter for their 2025 rotation. A fourth-round pick of the Brewers back in the 2016 Major League Draft, Burns established his place in Milwaukee's starting rotation during the shortened 2020 season. He went 4-1 with a 2.11 ERA in 12 appearances and finished 6th in the National League Cy Young balloting. The following season, he emerged as an ace, making the National League All-Star team for the first time, finishing with an 11-5 record and a 2.43 ERA, and edging Philadelphia's Zach Wheeler for the Cy Young Award. In 2022, Burns led the National League in strikeouts with 243, and he followed it up with another strong season in 2023. But that offseason, with the Brewers looking like non-contenders and Burns in his final season before becoming a free agent, he was traded to Baltimore for left-hander D.L. Hall and infielder Joey Ortiz. His time with the Orioles, though brief, was quite successful. He never missed a start, going 15-9 as the Orioles made the playoffs as a wildcard team. In the American League wildcard series opener, Burns allowed 1 run in 8 innings, but lost 1-0 to the Kansas City Royals, and the Orioles were eliminated the following day. And in another short baseball feature, this headline reads, Champion Dodgers bringing back Hernandez on a 3-year, $66 million deal. This short feature written by Gabe Lackus and Bob Nightingale of USA Today. Teoscar Hernandez's infectious grin and prodigious power were huge hits in his one season as a Los Angeles Dodger, culminating in a World Series championship. So why not run it back? The answer was easy for both sides, as Hernandez agreed to a new 3-year, $66 million contract with the Dodgers, a person with knowledge of the deal told USA Today Sports. The person spoke on the condition of anonymity because the team has not yet announced the deal. But Hernandez made it pretty close to official, writing, quote-unquote, I'm back on his Instagram story. The contract, which takes the preeminent right-handed hitting outfielder off the market, also includes a team option for a 4th season. Hernandez, age 32, did not find free agent offers to his liking 1 year ago when he signed a 1-year, $23 million deal with the Dodgers that included $8.5 million in deferred money. And the 2-time All-Star produced the greatest season of his career. Hernandez hit a career-high 33 home runs and posted an 840 OPS in helping the Dodgers win the National League West. In the postseason, he hit 3 more home runs, including a grand slam in the National League Division Series, and hit an RBI double that drove in the final 2 runs to erase a 5-0 New York Yankees lead in the decisive World Series Game 5. The vibes were almost as good as the production. Hernandez struck up a quick kinship with superstar Shohei Ohtani, who was also in his first year with the club and won the home run derby at July's All-Star Game. Now, after playing for 3 teams in 3 years, Hernandez will no longer be the new guy, and finally received a deal that made it an easy call to make Los Angeles his home for for years to come. And again, that short feature entitled Champion Dodgers Bringing Back Hernandez on a 3-year, $66 million deal, written by Gabe Lackus and Bob Nightingale of USA Today. And from baseball news, let's turn now to some college football news. Headline reads, Texas returns to Atlanta for a CFP quarterfinal. Longhorns face Arizona State. And this feature is written by Paul Newberry of the Associated Press, Dateline Atlanta. The Texas Longhorns were in Atlanta less than a month ago playing for a championship. That one did not go as planned. Now the Longhorns get an ATL do-over when they face Arizona State at the Peach Bowl in a college football playoff quarterfinal game on New Year's Day. Fifth-seeded Texas insists that it has gotten over the disappointment of losing an overtime thriller to Georgia on December the 7th, a result that denied the Longhorns a title in their debut season as a member of the SEC. Of course, we're going to kind of feel that a little bit, but we kind of want to move on and just get ready for Arizona State, Texas linebacker Anthony Hill said. They're a good football team, and we kind of don't want to think about that Georgia game all over again, unquote. The Longhorns showed no signs of a hangover when they held off Clemson in the opening round of the expanded 12-team playoff. If they can knock off Arizona State, Texas is a 2-touchdown favorite, it will be back to their home state for a semifinal game against either Oregon or Ohio State in the Cotton Bowl. Fourth-seeded Arizona State has been one of the nation's most surprising teams. The Sun Devils went 3-9 a year ago in Kenny Dillingham's first season as head coach. Making the move from the disintegrating Pac-12 to the 16-team Big 12, Arizona State was picked to finish dead last this season. Instead, it was tied with three other teams for the top spot during the regular season and claimed the title all to itself in the Big 12 championship game, rolling past Iowa State. This is a chance for Arizona State to prove to everyone that its stunning season was no fluke. We're going to face one of the best teams in the country, if not the best team in the country, Dillingham said Tuesday on the eve of the game. It's a really tall task for our guys, but by the same token, if you're a competitor, you want to compete versus the very best in the best environments, unquote. And in other college football news, the headline reads, Louisville holds off Washington in El Paso. Dateline El Paso. Harrison Bailey threw for 3 touchdowns, and Colin Lacey scored twice as Louisville hung on to beat Washington 35-34 in the Sun Bowl on Tuesday. Lacey caught a 9-yard touchdown pass from Bailey in the first quarter and rushed for a score on an 8-yard end-around in the fourth quarter that gave Louisville a 2-score lead that looked secure after 3 quarters. But Washington rallied with scores on its final 2 possessions in the fourth quarter, including a 1-yard fade from Damon Williams Jr., to Gillis Jackson with 9 seconds remaining. Instead of kicking the extra point to tie it, the Huskies went for the win on a 2-point conversion try that failed when Williams' pass was knocked down in the end zone by linebacker Antonio Watts. Bailey, who had only played in 4 games this year for the Cardinals and completed just 8 passes for 63 yards, got his first start in place of senior standout Tyler Shaw, who opted out of the game to prepare for the NFL draft. Washington finished the season 6 wins, 7 losses in its first year under new coach Jed Fish, who left Arizona for the Huskies last offseason. In more college football news, in Tampa, Florida, Michigan's defense sacked Jalen Milroe 5 times and forced 3 turnovers by the Alabama quarterback to lead the Wolverines to a 19-13 victory over the 11th-ranked Crimson Tide in the Ralea Quest Bowl on Tuesday. Dominic Zavada kicked 4 field goals, and Davis Warren threw a first-half touchdown pass to Frederick Moore for Michigan, which finished the season on a 3-game winning streak that included back-to-back upsets of rival Ohio State and Alabama. Alabama's season ended with a loss to Michigan for the 2nd year in a row. Tuesday's loss ended Alabama's string of 16 consecutive seasons with double-digit wins. And in Orlando, Florida, Josh McCray scored his 2nd touchdown of the game on a 9-yard run midway through the 4th quarter to give number 21 Illinois the lead, and the Illini held on to beat number 14 South Carolina 21-17 in the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl. And quarterback Cade Klubnik, who led Clemson's surprise run to the ACC Championship and College Football Playoff, will return for a 4th and final season with the Tigers rather than declare for the NFL draft. And Miami parted ways with defensive coordinator Lance Guidry on Tuesday after the Miami Hurricanes failed to make the college football playoff and allowed 42 points in each of their final 2 games of the season. And from college football news, let's look at some NFL short news. Headline reads here, Christmas games draw over 30 million viewers. Netflix's first NFL Christmas Day doubleheader ended up being successful globally. The Baltimore Ravens' 31-2 victory over the Houston Texans averaged 31.3 million, while Kansas City's 29-10 win at Pittsburgh averaged 30 million worldwide, according to Netflix's first-party data released on Tuesday. The 2 games are also the most streamed in NFL history in the U.S. And the Cleveland Browns' push to move out of the city and play in a proposed domed stadium has encountered a new roadblock. Cleveland Mayor Justin Bibb sent a letter to owners Dee and Jimmy Haslam saying that the city intends to invoke the quote-unquote Modell Law to prevent them from leaving the Browns' current lakefront stadium. The lease expires in the year 2028. And in more NFL news, the Dallas Cowboys released running back Ezekiel Elliott on Tuesday, a quiet end to a Dallas career that started with 2 rushing titles in 3 seasons, but faded quickly from there. And from NFL news, let's turn now to some men's college basketball news. Headline reads, Mountaineers upset the Jayhawks. In Lawrence, Kansas, Javon Small hit the go-ahead free throw with 1.8 seconds remaining, And shorthanded West Virginia held on after blowing an 18-point second-half lead to beat 7th-ranked Kansas 62-61 in an intense Big 12 opener for both teams on Tuesday. Eduardo Andre had 15 points, and Small finished with 13 for the Mountaineers, whose record is now 10 wins, 2 losses. And they built a 38-20 lead despite missing 2 of their 3 leading scorers to injuries, only to watch Kansas use a 15-2 run to get back in the game. Meanwhile, in Knoxville, Tennessee, Chaz Lanier scored 24 points to lead number 1 Tennessee to a 67-52 victory over stubborn Norfolk State on Tuesday. The Volunteers, whose record is now 13 wins, no losses, off to the second-best start in program history, and got 10 points each from Zakai Ziegler, Katie Phillips, and Tucsonan Jordan Ganey. Igor Milicek had 10 rebounds, and Christian Eng scored 19 for the Spartans, who are now 9 wins, 7 losses, and Brian Moore Jr. had 18 points. And in Lexington, Kentucky, Andrew Carr scored all of his 14 points in the first half, and Otega Owe added 13, and number 10 Kentucky defeated Brown University 88-54. And in Waco, Texas, V.J. Edgecombe scored 19 points, and 3 other Baylor players had 15, and the 25th-ranked Bears led throughout in an 81-56 win over Utah on Tuesday in the Big 12 opener for both teams. And in Provo, Utah, Richie Saunders scored a career-high 30 points, and BYU cruised to a 76-56 victory over Arizona State on Tuesday in a Big 12 conference opener. And in other college football news, this headline reads, "Bowl season wraps up between the playoffs." This is written by Eddie Tamanus of USA Today. And here's a listing of some bowl games that are taking place later this week. The Gator Bowl in Jacksonville, Florida is taking place this evening, and it's on ESPN. The Lone Contest on the Thursday lineup features one of the SEC's numerous ranked squads facing a challenger from the ACC. It's an attractive pairing from a record standpoint, but the Rebels will have a distinct personnel advantage. Ole Miss quarterback Jackson Dart will be off to the NFL, but will suit up one last time for the Rebels, and he should have wide receivers Caden Lee and Jordan Watkins available. Blue Devils quarterback Malik Murphy and running back Star Thomas are both transferring out, which will leave the Duke offense in the hands of little-used backup quarterback Henry Balin IV. And in another college football matchup later this week, the First Responder Bowl in Dallas, where North Texas will be taking on Texas State University. The game takes place on Friday at 2 p.m. Mountain Time on ESPN. Friday's doubleheader kicks off with this Lone Star State group of 5 showdown. Stop us if you've heard this one before, but North Texas will be without several outgoing transfers, most notably starting quarterback Chandler Morris and leading wide receiver D.T. Sheffield. Drew Mestermaker will make his starting debut at quarterback for the Mean Green, and he will likely make extensive use of his most experienced wide receiver, Damon Ward. The The Bobcats have some departures as well, but quarterback Jordan McLeod is still around. His primary targets are wide receivers Joey Hobert and Jaden Williams. Prediction? The Mean Green are in a difficult situation with a little-used freshman directing the offense. Texas State should move the ball more easily and eventually pull away. So we predict Texas State should win this one 35-20. Then there's Duke's Mayo Bowl in Charlotte, where Minnesota will be taking on Virginia Tech. That game starts at 5:30 Mountain Time on Friday, also on ESPN. The Power Conference take the field again for the Friday nightcap that will culminate in an extremely messy post-game ritual. The Hokies will have the last chance to salvage what has been a largely disappointing postseason for the ACC, but the Golden Gophers arrive in better health. Minnesota's playmaking trio of quarterback Max Brosmer, wide receiver Daniel Jackson, and running back Darius Taylor should all be on hand. Virginia Tech quarterback Kyron Drones was limited down the stretch with a variety of injuries and is unlikely to play. The good news is backup William Watson, known as Pop, is also returning to the Hokies next season, and he saw considerable action late, including a season-ending victory against Virginia. Prediction? The portal has been a lot busier for the Hokies. Minnesota, furthermore, comes in with the superior resume and should have the edge here, meaning Coach P.J. Fleck had better have a Mayo-proof suit available. And finally, there will be a bowl game on Saturday, the Bahamas Bowl in Nassau. Buffalo, who was 8 wins, 4 losses in the Mid-American Conference, will be taking on Liberty, who finished 8 wins, 3 losses in the CUSA Conference. This game is scheduled to start at 9 a.m. Mountain Time on ESPN2. The non-playoff portion of the bowl season wraps up in the Caribbean, a more than desirable destination if you are coming from Buffalo. The Flames should be happy to be here as well, though it might be something of a letdown after last year's season concluded in the Fiesta Bowl. The Bulls should be near full strength coming in with quarterback C.J. Ogbonna and running back Al.J. Henderson set to lead the offense. Liberty said goodbye to outbound transfer quarterback Caden Salter, so Ryan Berger will get the start in Nassau. Prediction? It's an unfortunate side effect of the academic calendar that so many of these bowls are decided as much by who plays as who doesn't play. Once again, though, we'll give the nod to the Bulls with more of their key players taking part. So Buffalo should win this one over Liberty. And in college basketball, men's college basketball in Provo, Utah, Richie Saunders scored a career-high 30 points, and BYU, who is now 10 wins, 2 losses, cruised to a 76-56 victory over Arizona State on Tuesday in a Big 12 conference opener. And in NBA news, in Indianapolis, Giannis Antetokounmpo shook off a 4-point first half and finished with 30 points and 12 rebounds as the Milwaukee Bucks rallied from a 19-point deficit and beat the Indiana Pacers 120-112 on Tuesday. And in other NBA news, the NBA has suspended Houston's Amen Thompson for 2 games and Miami's Terry Rozier for one game over their roles in a skirmish in the final moments of the Houston Rockets-Miami Heat game on Sunday night last week. The league also handed out $145,000 in fines from that game. Houston coach Ime Udoka was fined $50,000 for verbally abusing a game official and not leaving the court in a timely manner, while the Rockets' Jalen Green was fined $35,000 and Miami's Tyler Hero was fined $25,000 for their roles in the fight. That's all the time that we have for this edition of Sports Today. My name is Bill, volunteer reader here at Sun Sounds of Arizona. Have a great evening. If you miss a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org/broadcast info. And you could hear Sun Sounds on your smart home device.